I'm Robin Young in Boston. It's Here and Now. And this morning now, our next conversation may not be for young ears, though young children are involved. It's about the new film Women Talking, which is based on the novel by Canadian author Miriam Taves, which in turn is based on a real event in an isolated religious community. For years, women in that community, including girls as young as 4 and women in their 70s, had been drugged and brutally raped as they slept. They're later told it was by Satan. But it's men from their community who are finally arrested. And while the men are in town, the women gather. Some want to go, some to stay.
The only important thing to establish is if we forgive the men, so that we will be allowed to enter the gates of heaven.
You can laugh all you like, Sloane, but we will be forced to leave the colony if we don't forgive the men. How will the Lord, when he arrives, find the women if we aren't in the colony?
Jesus is able to return to life, live for thousands of years, and then drop down to earth from heaven to scoop up his supporters. Surely he'd also be able to locate a few women
who
left our colony.
Let's stay on track.
All right, I'll stay on track. I cannot forgive them.
Women Talking is adapted for the screen and directed by Sarah Polley. We spoke with her recently and started with her reaction when she first read the book.
It went through me like a bullet. It was so raw and powerful. It was asking questions and challenging me around conversations that I'd had a lot of but hadn't really challenged myself on before.
Like what?
It was talking about faith and forgiveness and how do we move forward as opposed to only unravel what's gone wrong. I'd spent a lot of time thinking about what had gone wrong when we talked about violence against women, when we, you know, had the sort of reckoning around the Me Too movement. There was a very healthy collective unpacking of what had been so insidious and gone wrong, and that was important. But what this book was doing was it was talking about, okay, now what? What do we want to build, not just what we want to destroy?
Do we stay, do we go? If we're mothers and we have children, do we leave behind our older sons knowing that they're already on the path to violence? Big questions.
Yeah, really big questions. And I think that those questions of do they stay and fight, do they leave, do they stay and do nothing, I think those three options kind of apply to all of us in every big decision we have to make on this earth.
Couldn't help but notice, we know this is based on a true story of what happened in one Mennonite community, and Miriam Taves is very clear that this did not happen in the community she grew up in Canada, but a patriarchal community lends itself to this possibility of violence. But it is a Mennonite community that she's talking about, and I don't think I heard the word Mennonite used once in your film.
Yeah, I mean, we were really conscious of being very true to the details of that specific Mennonite community in terms of wardrobe, set design, in terms of the way their faith is expressed. We had a lot of Mennonite consultants. I was also very conscious that someone who's not Mennonite making this film, that I didn't want to give people permission to other these issues and to be able to say this happens there but not here, because ultimately this film, the way it's realized, is a fable and it's about all of us.
It could have been a grandmother, mother, and daughter meeting to decide whether or not they leave an abusive home, not knowing how they survive outside that home.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's fascinating that the actual real-life event happened in the mid-2000s. That's stunning right there, because I was thinking maybe this happened in the 1800s, you know, but no. And that Miriam Taves was meaning to write it for a long time. She put it off for different reasons, wrote other books. And yet the publication of her book and this film come as you said, we have the Me Too movement. We have A Handmaid's Tale. And Margaret Atwood, by the way, tweeted out about this book, you know, Women Talking. She was a champion of it early on. We also have the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Are you thinking of all of that as someone who's bringing this film to audiences?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are bringing a lot of very present emotion when they see the film. We also have a revolution happening in Iran right now, led by women. I think, sadly, there's not many moments where this story would land and it wouldn't have a lot of resonance. But we are at a heightened moment right now, I think, where we realize that things we take for granted are not at all guaranteed unless we're willing to fight for them over and over and over again, no matter how exhausting that is.
You said that you wanted the details to be of that Mennonite culture, and they are stunning, beautiful, beautiful images. They're misty, they're almost sepia. The backlit, beautiful children. It's stunning visually, and as a filmmaker, that must be so much fun. But on the other hand, you worry, maybe romanticizing it, you know, wow, what a beautiful place. Or is that part of it? Because that's the place they have to leave.
I think what I was really interested in doing was making tangible and visual the way these women's faith feel to them. So what is it that they're fighting for? You know, they are communities with a lot of beautiful aspects. There is this sense of community, there's a sense of collectivity, there's a sense of selflessness. And what they're fighting for is what their faith feels to them, which involves the protection of their children and the ability of their children to live full lives free of violence. So capturing that became really, really important. And also because it's an epic story. I mean, I think you could easily make this film as a bunch of women sitting around a bar and having a conversation, and it could be a kind of claustrophobic chamber piece, and I'd be interested in seeing that. But I don't think that's the film I felt was most useful to make at this moment. I felt like it needed this epic scale in terms of feeling the gravity of the meaning of this conversation these women have and the implications it'll have on their whole world. Like, they are literally talking about breaking and remaking their world. The stakes just couldn't be higher. And so I didn't want to shy away from the gravity of that visually.
The film is all about this extraordinary violence, which we only see in tiny pieces, fragments of people's memories almost.
I think it's really, really hard in terms of asking an audience, a huge percentage of which will have had gone through sexual assault. I find it's hard to do without it being gratuitous or sensational, even when you try. And for me, what was important was the impact these assaults had on these women. So the moments afterwards, how they moved through it, how they moved together as a community and tried to look for healing.
We know that we've been attacked by men, not by ghosts or Satan, as we were led to believe for so long. We know that we've not imagined these attacks, that we were made unconscious with cow tranquilizer. We know that we are bruised and infected and pregnant and terrified and insane, and some of us are dead. We know that we must protect our children regardless of who is guilty.
There are no men in your movie except for a glimpse of one of the patriarchal figures and August, who's the school teacher who is taking notes of the women's meetings. He was the narrator in the book. You give the women their own voice. They're telling their own story, but potentially one of the most empathic men I've ever seen on screen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that what Miriam does in the book, and which I wanted to capture in the film, is have right near the center of the movie a really, really good man, because we are telling such a hard story, and sadly, in a way, such a common story in terms of the kind of violence that many men are capable of. And so I thought it was really important in the spirit of thinking about what we want to build, not only what we want to destroy, what we'd like to see, not only what we don't want to see, to have at its core somebody who really was capable of being really a perfect ally to these women. And I think what Miriam did in including him is almost subversive and a really useful thing, because ultimately we want to believe there's hope. Like, as August says towards the end, it is possible that these boys can relearn their roles in this colony. And that's the great hope, is that things can be different. And we did change him as the narrator. It worked so beautifully in the book, having him as the narrator. I loved that about the book. And then when we were editing it, it was quite late in the editing process where we just realized that with the immediacy and intimacy of sound and picture, it was creating a distance to hear it through a man's voice because he hadn't personally experienced it. And we needed that immediacy of a young woman telling the story who had actually experienced what she was speaking of.
Women telling their own story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Sarah Pauley, writer and director of the new film Women Talking, from Miriam Tave's extraordinary book. You've been the buzz of film festivals. Rewarding, frightening, what?
It's been an amazing experience because ultimately, you know, this film was made as a way to start a conversation collectively and with people. And so to get to have those conversations and to see how much people bring of themselves to the film has been fascinating and just feels like a huge gift. It doesn't feel like we're out there promoting something or selling something. It feels like we get to have all these really interesting conversations with really smart people about something we care deeply about.
Sarah Pauley, writer and director of the film Women Talking, which opens in theaters beginning Friday.